Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report, this Monday edition of the program brought to you by CC Power Sports. So glad to have you. Indiana football loses, but very competitive. I was pleased with their effort on the road. I look forward to the game on Saturday at home against Michigan. Could Indiana, could they score their biggest upset of the season and their biggest win of the season at home? They played well at home, played well the last few weeks. And again, even Saturday, in the loss, it was great to see a good performance from Peyton Ramsey in the contest. And this Indiana team, I don't know that they played obviously it was a loss, but I don't know that they played as well. Maybe it's what they have in previous weeks, maybe the last two games out before Penn State, but still a good performance. Anytime you go to Penn State and lose by one touchdown in a very tough place to play, a very good team, a team that suffered its only loss of the season the week before and essentially bouncing back from that game and had big reason to do so. I think overall a good outing for Indiana football. I feel the same about IU basketball. They were victorious on Saturday. They defeated mid-major Troy by the margin that you would expect. It was an Indiana team that got off to a fairly good start, and then from that point, able to win by 40-something points. And that's ideally, I think, what you want to see when a team the caliber of Indiana, a high-major school like IU, plays mid-major competition, especially back-to-back games, a number of back-to-back games, seven, in fact, against that level or a similar level of lower-level Division I competition. In the month of November, Devontae Green was back. That was big for Indiana. We'll talk some about that. And Indiana still can't get a full roster. Rob Phinisee seems to have greatly improved from his lower abdominal injury, but missed Saturday's game because of a sickness, illness. So even though Devontae Green back and got 20 minutes, working his way back into the lineup in the rotation, really, for the first time this season, Rob Phinisee out, so Indiana still struggling with injuries. And Romeo Langford, you want to talk about injuries. We're going to talk about this coming up in just a little bit. Injured again on Saturday night in Maine. It was like 7 minutes into the game. He goes down with an ankle injury, and we really don't know exactly how bad it is. It doesn't seem, based on a few reports that are out there, to be terrible, and I'll give you some quotes and some other details about it coming up. But I tell you what, that's becoming the story, and everywhere you turn, it's not about anything else with Romeo other than what in the world can a guy have any more bad luck than what he's had when it comes to injuries, whether it be something serious like the thumb injury that he dealt with all year, last season at Indiana essentially, that kept him out of the offseason in the summer league, or small injuries like a groin injury, a knee sprain, now an ankle sprain. He had an illness for a couple days when he first was bumped back to Boston and maybe could have gotten some minutes, just a general sickness, flu-like symptoms. He's dealt with about everything that a guy can deal with, and so we'll talk about that some coming up here in just a bit. I was really looking forward, though, to Saturday night because he had such a big performance for Maine the previous Saturday when he was finally healthy there for a little window, and I expected another big one. I expected to see Romeo slashing the lane and taking some shots and scoring some points and hopefully getting some playing time. It looked like maybe back and forth between Boston and Maine would be the plan for him, and maybe a few other Celtics as well. But with another injury. He's definitely out for a bit, and we'll talk some about that coming up here in just a few moments. Welcome into the show today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sordano's Pizza in Sellersburg. We'll tell you about that here in just a few moments. We also will get to our Zaxby's headlines. We're going to recap the Indiana basketball win. We're going to talk also more about Romeo Langford and his injury and what could be next for him. We're going to touch on the Dawson Garcia recruitment. Looks like that both coaches from IU and Marquette slid into Minnesota for a maybe a late visit, a late in-home visit with Dawson Garcia, which would make you think that his decision is coming up very soon. And also a very surprising email in my inbox earlier today that has now made the rounds on media throughout the state. You don't see this often, but Southport High School, who has one of my favorite gyms in the state and hosts a lot of the big state tournament games, including Semi-State, at least they did some years ago, they have been banned from the tournament, the boys basketball state tournament this year, because of some undue influence violations. And you see violations and you see wrist slaps, hand slaps, whatever you want to call them, quite often in the IHSA board minutes, but you normally, I can't recall a team, southern part of the state at least, being suspended from the tournament for many, many years. So we'll talk some about that. I know Southport isn't locally, but still kind of sending some shockwaves through the state, through the high school basketball community today with the season just underway. That's what we'll do in the Zaxby's headline segment. Then later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us. He was at IU Penn State football on Saturday, so we'll start with that. And he didn't get, obviously, to see the IU basketball game live, but we'll still talk some IU hoops with Zach when he joins us today. And then later in the program, Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's AD and an IHSA executive board member. He joins us. We talk basketball. We talk local sports. Lots going on today. Want to get his thoughts on the Southport situation as well when we talk with Chad Gilbert later in our program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention this show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show, submit a comment or a question. It might get read on the air, might use it as a question for one of our guests today. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me a question or comment. You can also follow the page, like the page on Facebook. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison is what you search for, and you can leave a message there to maybe get read on the air today or one day this week during our program. Let's take a look at Athlete of the Week, presented by Sordano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We're in a good spot right now because high school football has slowed down a lot the last couple weeks, and it officially ended on Friday when the Highlanders of Floyd Central came up short at Bloomington South, although it was a tremendous season and a very bright future for Floyd Central's football team. We kind of in the middle part between football and between boys basketball, and it's a great time to honor some of the really good girls basketball players that we have in the area. So that's what we want to do this week. Last week, Nan Garcia of Jeff won the award. She had some amazing performances, including I think it was a 37-point performance in like 18 minutes of play last week for her Jeffersonville team. This week, another key girls basketball player in the area with a big, big week. The girls played in a tournament called the First Battle at the First Capitol. It was in Cordon on Friday and Saturday. And Providence senior Natalie Bozing, she had an outstanding tournament. She had 79 points in three games for the Lady Pioneers. Friday, in the opening round of the tournament, Natalie Bozing had 26 points as Providence won in overtime over Cordon. She came back on Saturday in the semifinals, had 24 points, 15 rebounds as her team defeated North Central Farmersburg. Then in the championship game that same day, 29 points and 13 rebounds. It was a loss this time, though, for her Providence team, 54-48 in overtime as well. Congratulations to Natalie Bozing, a senior girls basketball standout at Providence. She's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week this week, presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Serdano's, the home of Square Pizza, squarely the best, located in Sellersburg. They are proud to bring you and highlight the top athletes, high school athletes here in the area each week. And Natalie entitled to a free 14-inch pizza at Serdano's in Sellersburg. Congratulations to her on a big performance. I'd say no question about it. She's going to have more big performances like that for this Providence girls basketball team this season. But congratulations to her. Our second basketball winner, our second girls basketball winner of the young season here so far this year. So congratulations to Natalie Bozing, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. All right, let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Headline number one, we've got to look at IU basketball victorious over the weekend against Troy. A big margin, 40-something points. Devontae Green back. He played 20 minutes. Rob Finnessy still out with an illness this time. And it just seems like Indiana cannot get their full roster together, which brings me kind of to my first point. To me, it is concerning that Indiana cannot get everybody out there together because a number of games have been played. A number of games are all the games against mid to low level competition. This is the stretch of the season where Indiana obviously strategically scheduled it this way to play the level of opponents that they're playing, to get consistency with each other, for guys to learn new roles, for the newcomers to have chances to perform and succeed and build confidence, and most importantly, moving forward into the month of December, to build chemistry with this team, which is something that I think you could agree needed for Indiana after recent seasons. And so that doesn't happen, the chemistry part at least, unless your full team, especially all of your projected starters and guys that are going to log regular minutes, are out there for you. And with Devontae Green out for every game except Saturday, and for Rob Finnessy being kind of half in, half out with a lower abdominal injury and then out again Saturday with the sickness, Indiana really, I think, as they get into some tougher mid-major competition here in their next couple games and as they get into December against big non-conference opponents like Florida State, Notre Dame, and others, and, of course, also Big Ten games, two Big Ten games in December for Indiana. I think it's a tough deal, and so I think that you got to be a little concerned. I know people talk about defense. Yes, that's obviously a concern with this Indiana team, but I tell you, I think that just flat chemistry and playing together and getting some reps together as they get this far into November with still not everybody out there at the same time, definitely a concerning point. Also Saturday, Trace Jackson Davis, his second double-double of his freshman year, 17 points and 14 rebounds in 24 minutes. Jackson was 6-for-6 from the field. Amazing. Just 5-of-9 from the free throw line, so a little work that could be done there. I'm convinced that Trace Jackson Davis is going to be, and I'm sure everyone else is as well, but a big contributor this year. We knew he would be a contributor. I think we probably figured he'd be a starter this year fairly consistently, but I have conformed to the fact he's going to be a big contributor, and I think he's going to be the type of player that it maybe competes for Big Ten Freshman of the Year, that wins Big Ten Freshman of the Week a number of times this season to put himself in contention for that award at the end of the season. But very excited for Trace and his future at Indiana. And I tell you what, I'm just excited whether Indiana wins or loses in December against some of their tough opponents. I think Trace Jackson Davis will do good. I'm excited to see him compete against the next level of competition out there, and I think we'll get an even better feel for how good he could be at Indiana over his time there. Other things from Indiana's game that stand out, obviously I think Indiana's shooting is better. Their three-point shooting specifically has been better generally this season. That's a positive note. The defense continues to be lackluster at times. Not terrible, but really, again, like I mentioned, seeing Trace against better competition and how he performs offensively especially, I'm curious to see when Indiana takes on Princeton or Louisiana Tech, who seem to be the best teams Indiana's going to face this month, how Indiana's defense does against those teams. And, of course, then in December, to open things up, how they do against Florida State, an athletic team, a quick team in the ACC. Those are things I think that will be very interesting to follow. Headline number two, Dawson Garcia, Minnesota, five-star player, big man. We know lots about him. And he's taken his last visits to campuses when he completed his IU visit a few weeks ago, followed by a visit to Marquette, which was last weekend. And that was kind of figured to be it. The family was going to review positives and negatives, and it sounded like make a decision reasonably soon. It was kind of unexpected to me to see a decision or to see some news reports out there that Indiana coaches flew up to Minnesota for a last-minute kind of visit, in-home visit with Dawson Garcia and his family. And according to some of the reports, it looks like Marquette had the opportunity to do the same thing, which has to make you believe if he's having both sets of coaches in this far after visits and when you think that they're ready to make a decision, that clearly he is really, really in a battle and really considering both schools, Indiana and Marquette. So you would think now that he's been to those places, that the family's had some time to weigh their visits and the positives and the negatives, and now the fact that the coaches have been back to visit again one more time, you would think he's got to be getting very, very close to a decision. Still no announcement or anything from the family on when the decision could come. But I like Indiana's chances in this. I really do. I don't know exactly why. I think it's because of some of the comments Dawson Garcia made in that Instagram video that forget who was interviewing him, where he was really complimentary about Indiana's environment and their fans. And I know it's a little farther than Marquette, a lot farther than Marquette, but I do like Indiana's chances in this one. Let's see what happens. Headline number three, Romeo Langford talked about some of his injuries at the top of the show. Saturday night, Maine Red Claws. Looked forward to Romeo getting lots of minutes, getting some confidence, scoring some points. Love to see him driving, slashing, scoring, doing the things that Romeo does. And 7 minutes into the game or so, he goes down with an ankle injury. He popped right back up. I think the announcers even said, doesn't look to be anything serious, but it became clear when he got back up that he was struggling to walk, let alone run in a game. So Romeo Langford, you can classify him as injured again, which is just amazing this season. All the little injuries, nothing overly serious, no breaks, no major tears or anything like that, but just little things that continue to hinder the start of his career. I saw a story in one of the Boston area papers or outlets today that said it's a injury-plagued start to Romeo Langford's career. That's probably the best way that I can come up to describe it. Romeo told Jared Weiss of The Athletic after the game that at home that it was, quote, just a little sprain, end quote. But still, based on that, how long is he going to be out? How long is he going to be in recovery? Brad Stevens told reporters Sunday when the Celtics were out in Sacramento playing that it's, quote, a mild ankle sprain that'll likely send Langford back to Boston for rehab. That was what The Athletic's Jay King wrote about the situation. So we'll see. Doesn't sound to be anything serious, but when you've had this many little things and this many things keep you out of almost every opportunity, whether it's the summer league, whether it's preseason, whether it's some of the early games in the regular NBA season when he could have gotten some minutes, and now even he's bouncing back and forth between the Red Claws and Celtics, keeping him out of some G League games where he can rehab and get confidence and get minutes. So who knows what is going on or how long he will be out. One interesting thing, I did not realize this, but the Maine Red Claws are based in Portland, Maine. And Portland, Maine is about an hour and 45 minutes or so from Boston. And I wondered last week, even when Romeo was, we thought, healthy, I wondered, and he was up on the Celtics roster at that time, I noticed in the middle of the day the Celtics sent him back to, and a couple other players as well, I think three other players, sent him back to Maine for like a couple hours and then brought him right back to the Celtics. It really didn't even generate a news report or anything for us to talk about. But the reason is they're close enough, the Maine team is, that they can bus or take the train or whatever over to Boston, practice in the Boston practice facility, the Auerbach facility, and they have to send players down to practice with the rest of the Maine team and then bump them back up to the Celtics. So I assume if Romeo gets healthy soon, we'll see him do that, probably make some trips and stay at home with the Celtics some, practice with them some, but also be bumped down to practice with Maine, maybe when they come over to Boston to practice, and then play a couple times a week with the Maine team. They only play, it looks like, twice a week on most weeks. So let's hope that Romeo can bounce back and forth, get some experience with both, get some court time with Maine, and then see what happens with him as far as minutes for the Celtics. But obviously, as a draft pick, they're paying him a lot of money. He's done well in his few little performances. He's going to get an opportunity for Boston when they can work him in. You can bet that. And I say if he continues to have big games for Maine, you'll see him pop in the lineup at some point and see what he can do. And from there, he can kind of write his own story. But let's just see him get healthy. That has been frustrating. I can only imagine for him and his family. But just to watch him, as all the people here locally that want to support him, injury after injury for Romeo Langford. Final headline here on this Monday program brought to you by Zaxby's. Southport High School, the boys basketball team, removed from the boys basketball tournament for the upcoming season because of undue influence violations. You see minor violations, you see wrist slaps, but you don't see anything this serious very often. But according to the IHSA, they put out a full report on this that you can find on their website. And, of course, there have been lots of stories in the Indianapolis Star and in other sources. But the coach, Eric Brand, who's new to Southport, or fairly new to Southport, paid for a player's out-of-corporation, out-of-district tuition, it looks like from like a booster account or a youth basketball account that he runs. The school actually accepted the payment. And so the coach is going to be suspended only for two games, which kind of surprised me. The player is out for the season, ineligible for the season, and the whole program penalized, and actually the whole athletic department put on probation, but the boys basketball team penalized specifically. They will not be able to play in the state tournament. So no sectional, no nothing for Southport this year. And it's not often you see those postseason bans handed out in high school sports. But this is kind of a wake-up call, and I would say a big statement-type decision by the IHSA on this one. Lots of stuff goes on in Indianapolis, no question about it. Lots of stuff goes on in Indianapolis with recruiting and things that maybe don't happen here, at least to the extent that they do in big cities. But kind of good to see some disciplinary action, and you hope that things continue and the recruiting subdues and that maybe the guys that are doing that are caught up. But definitely some big news in high school basketball today with Southport out of the tournament for this season because of undue influence violations. Those are the headlines for this Monday program brought to you by Zaxby's. Zaxby's, the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. This is the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. Coming up next, we have Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU football. Zach was there on Saturday at Penn State, and we'll recap briefly IU basketball's big win over Troy as well. A 40-something point victory for the Hoosiers on the basketball court. That's coming up next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back to the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find out more by visiting ccpowersports.com. That's ccpowersports.com. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he is always with us Mondays as we open the week here on the program. And as always, this time of year, a lot to get to. Indiana football was in action over the weekend with a loss, but a competitive loss at Penn State, 34-27. That's where Zach was at on Saturday. And, of course, IU basketball gets an easy win on Saturday as well, as now their schedule will ramp up a bit in the rest of the month. Zach, great to have you with us. Indiana football, a loss. But I think it's a loss that Indiana fans and likely the staff can be somewhat proud of, because the Hoosiers were very competitive in this game.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's a loss that Tom Allen said he was disappointed with, and I think he had a right to be. You know, Indiana probably had a number of opportunities in retrospect to win that game, or to at very least make the kinds of plays that get kind of control of that game, and you can think about the fake punt. You can think about a couple of the early miscues that extended Penn State drives that ended in points, the drop touchdown pass. But I also think it's just sort of affirming more widely of the idea that this is an Indiana team that is where it is on merit, that hasn't fluked its way to its record so far this season, that hasn't I think there's been a criticism, of course, that Indiana hasn't played anybody. And this may, you know, listen, the season may end without Indiana having beaten a team with a winning record, at least in the regular season, without knowing where they're going for their bowl. But I still think that when you look at performances like this, like Michigan State, you have to respect that this is an Indiana team that kind of is where it is on its merits and isn't, you know, necessarily 7-3 just because it's kind of stumbled into good fortune here and there to go to Penn State. I don't necessarily think Penn State is the class of the conference. I mean, you know, I think Penn State personally will probably get pretty well humbled this weekend by Ohio State, but to go to Penn State and play Penn State that competitively and that directly and arguably be the better team over 60 minutes, even a loss, I think, speaks to just, again, you know, this is just a good Indiana team. It's not, it's maybe not a great one. It's maybe not one that's, you know, going to wind up setting some sort of record or anything like that, or just stunning the college football world, but it's just a good, solid, competitive team. And you can't really take that away just because of the loss that, or the wins that they, in theory, don't have.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, talking IU football to begin the segment. And I want to probably talk a little more about Penn State and the performance there, but I think with a one-touchdown loss on the road, Penn State is noted to be just a very, very tough place to play. And I know Coach Allen is disappointed and so forth, as you expect a coach to say, but it's hard for me to believe with what I've seen from this team and what I've seen from Peyton Ramsey throughout the season as a at least good Indiana football team, that coming within a touchdown of Penn State on the road to a good Penn State team that I think was hungry to bounce back after their loss the week before, it's hard for me to believe that Saturday's game at home in Bloomington against Michigan couldn't be a really good, another close game. Couldn't maybe be an IU upset with how this Indiana team is playing and has played.
Yeah, I mean, I think the line has opened within a touchdown. I think S&P Plus has Indiana. This is where I do my annual or my weekly apology on climbing into my car as we talk. I think S&P Plus has it maybe 2.5, 3 points. So if you believe the computers, it's even closer than what Vegas thinks. And, of course, we'll see how the line moves over the week, because it's always important to remind people the line is built to trigger betting action, and it's not built to it is not necessarily just meant to be reflective of what Vegas thinks of two teams. It's meant to make some money. But the one thing I would say is Michigan is playing awfully good football right now. You look at what they did last week to Michigan State. And I know Michigan State kind of isn't playing good football, and you know, maybe Indiana's going to wind up in a situation where it wishes it could play Michigan and Michigan State if it could just flip those two games on its schedule, because I think when Indiana played Michigan State in East Lansing a few weeks ago, the Spartans still kind of had something to hold on to. you know, still probably felt like there was something to fight for in their season. And I think maybe as that's ebbed away, you've seen them, you know, kind of, you know, you've seen water find its level a little bit with Michigan State. So if Indiana could play Michigan State this coming weekend, I would back Indiana to win that game, possibly convincingly, even in East Lansing. If Indiana had played Michigan at the point in the season where it played Michigan State, I think that was the week after Michigan got humbled by Wisconsin, you would have looked at it and said, well, you know, geez, that's a very winnable sort of upset-ish type game for Indiana, as you said. Now you look at Michigan and you sort of feel like you're looking at a team that's a lot closer to what we thought Michigan would be coming into the season, very experienced, very tough on defense, really good quarterback play. That offense is finally syncing up. I think finding the run game has been very important for Michigan, has allowed Michigan to kind of find its feet a little bit these last few weeks. And so I don't think Indiana necessarily is guaranteed to lose, but I would have pegged this as a much likelier sort of upset potential game a few weeks ago than I probably would now.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, here on the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. IU football, 7 wins right now. Maybe they don't win Saturday. Maybe there's no upset in Bloomington Saturday. But you would think Purdue is a winnable game, home or away, with the injuries that Purdue has and just with the type of season that they have had. It has not gone well in any shape or form for the Boilermakers. That said, you would think, assume, that could be win number 8. If this Indiana team, Zach, does go on to finish the regular season with 8 wins and heads to a somewhat good bowl game and makes that bowl appearance with what Indiana football has returning next season, with maybe a bowl game taking place in Florida, with some recruiting boost that you're going to get off a bowl game appearance, especially if it maybe is a Southern Bowl or a Florida Bowl, I've got to believe that you would grade this for IU football standards with 8 regular season wins, a bowl game appearance, and other things surrounding this season. I've got to think you would grade this as a really good year for IU football.
I mean, I don't think you can't. I think maybe the only way that it would really at this point feel like a disappointing sort of season, I guess, would be if Indiana were to lose out and lose its bowl game. And at that point, you know, even then you'd be allowed to say first winning season in 12 years. You know, most Big Ten wins, I think, I'd have to go back and look, but I mean, getting to 4 Big Ten wins, I'm not even sure Indiana got to 4 Big Ten wins either of the years. They may have gotten to 4 in 2016, but it would be one of the few times they've done it in the last 25, 30 years. You know, some of the wins that winning at Nebraska, for example, you know, winning at Maryland. But if Indiana was to win out, I think you'd be fair in feeling disappointed at the course of this season, in part because you would have lost your rivalry game. And you mentioned, you know, I know that game's in West Lafayette. And I know that if you ask people around IU, they are sort of very, like, they are not putting the cart before the horse when it comes to the Purdue game at all. There is a very strong sense of, no, that's a team that's beaten us in the last two seasons. That's the game where we've really struggled to rise our level in the last two seasons. We are not taking it for granted, regardless of what's going on in West Lafayette. You would imagine by next weekend, because Purdue is, I think, at Wisconsin this weekend, that Purdue's bowl hopes will be gone by the time the bucket game rolls around. But nevertheless, Indiana's taking that game very, very seriously, as it should. But if Indiana were to lose out, I think that would be the one area where you'd say, hey, that was, you know, that's a disappointing way for a season of such promise to finish. Beyond that, or maybe, I guess, getting just absolutely humbled in your bowl game, and that's going to depend on matchups and location and timing and things like that. I don't see how you can't see this as the most successful Indiana season in 2 decades, you know, maybe almost 3. And as you say, nothing's guaranteed. You know, there's a lot that could potentially change in the offseason. You don't know, for example, what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. Does Peyton Ramsey stick around for another year? Does Michael Penix hold on to the job? And on and on. But I was looking at the flip card during the Northwestern game, and Indiana had 16 players listed as starters that will have eligibility remaining after this season. And I think three more spots where a senior was listed as a starter, but you can make a convincing or a compelling case that really it was rotated between a senior and an underclassman. There will be a lot of talent returning to this group. There's another promising-looking recruiting class coming in. I don't think it's necessarily going to be as highly ranked because I think it's going to be a lot smaller just because Indiana isn't going to lose a lot of seniors this year. I mean, I'm not even sure the class will get all the way to 20 players total. But there's every reason to believe that the future is as promising as the rest of this season could potentially be, if not maybe more so, for Indiana over the next couple of years.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, joining his final football question. Then I want to hit basketball for a few moments. Quarterback Peyton Ramsey obviously is going to be Indiana's guy for the rest of the year at the quarterback slot, barring any injuries or anything crazy, taking over for Michael Penix. And it's not like Peyton didn't have plenty of snaps and opportunities to be a big part of this season already before it was announced that Penix would miss the rest of the regular season. That said, your performance, your grade, your thoughts on his performance Saturday, even in a close and competitive loss, as you think ahead to the rest of the season, obviously he's going to be so key. How did he play? Any concerning points there from the quarterback slot? Do you feel comfortable with him as Indiana has seemed to be when he's had big moments earlier in the year, leading the team to some key victories? Where do you see that?
I mean, I think he was fantastic. I think it was another game where he probably would feel a little bit hard done, and I don't think he won Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, and obviously it's very hard to do that if you don't win your game, but it's another week where, frankly, he has the right to feel a little bit aggrieved not to have won that. I mean, he had more than 400 in total yards of offense. He pretty roundly outplayed Sean Clifford, who's an old high school rival of his from Cincinnati. I think they're on friendly terms. When I say rival, I'm talking about he went to Elder, Clifford went to St. X. I mean, you know, he threw for 371 yards, I think, had three total touchdowns. He was incredibly accurate again. You know, he is more and more comfortable pushing the ball down the field, which, of course, has been maybe the one great concern with him in the past has been, you know, how much can he stretch the field? Well, you saw him stretching the field to guys like Ty Freifogel and before he got hurt, Wab Fillier and others on Saturday. He's in command of the offense. He keeps it ticking over. There's just, you know, I think the biggest thing about Indiana's offense is that it doesn't feel like there's a major drop-off anywhere from Penix to Ramsey. And I think that when you consider what we, I think, can all agree, Penix has shown, the potential he's shown, you know, I think, you know, we can all agree that there is a very, very promising quarterback in Michael Penix because of all the tools he has. If you say that the offense is virtually the same between Michael Penix and Peyton Ramsey, then you're basically saying Indiana's got two really, really good quarterbacks, and as long as they can keep this one healthy, they should be in good hands the rest of the way.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. IU basketball victorious over the weekend, 100-62 over Troy, and I'm very excited about some of the upcoming games. I say that for November games against non-high major opponents. I think the schedule is going to increase a bit. And tell us more about this Indiana team before they get to the very tough month of December. That said, Devontae Green was back. The team, I thought, shot the ball pretty well, and they obviously beat Troy, a mid-major school, by the margin that you would like to see Indiana win these types of games. Indiana now is going to get some stiffer competition. Of course, December is going to be even more and much more of a higher level of basketball. But where do you kind of see this Indiana team in your eyes? I see better three-point shooting. I see maybe some concerns with defense that we're still trying to figure out when we watch this team play about where maybe their struggles there, what they will be like against higher level teams. What do you see? Grade this team, areas of concern, areas that they've done well, areas of improvement even from last season.
I think you're right about the defense. And, you know, in fairness, I've said this too, I think Archie Miller is just going to keep pushing the defense all season. Even if that defense statistically starts to really sharpen up, I still think Archie Miller sees this team as having the potential to be elite or borderline elite defensively. And so I don't think, you know, there may be individual performances, but I wouldn't be surprised if, as a general rule, Archie Miller is pretty demanding of Indiana defensively all season. I think the offense has looked good. I mean, the shooting numbers are up. The free throw numbers are good. You know, the you would imagine that your 2- and 3-point percentages come down a little bit as competition stiffens, but they're very high right now, especially particularly high given what I think probably we all expected of Indiana offensively coming into this season. And, you know, what I think is maybe irrespective of the opponent is I see Indiana running a lot of motion concepts. You know, I think there's been some blocker mover pointed out. I had a friend who said he felt like they were running some horns, sort of, you know, inspired motion and things like that. The key with Indiana is it feels like it's stuff that is basically sort of too big, three small, or three, you know, small slash wing, and just constant motion. And an offense like that does a couple things. Number one, it doesn't necessarily rely too heavily on one or two players, which I don't think Indiana's going to be able to do offensively this season. You know, I think even if a guy like Devontae Green winds up averaging maybe 14 points a game, you know, I don't think that you're going to, you know, have many nights where you look at this offense and say it needs to be ball dominant to Devontae Green or just Trayce Jackson-Davis or just one or two players. So it's an offensive approach that, as long as Indiana sticks with it and keeps improving in it, creates a meritocracy that I think fits this team. And I also think it's an offensive approach that, so far, it feels like I'm seeing it creating the right shots for the right players. So it's getting good three-pointers in advantageous situations for the guys that you want shooting those shots. It's getting high ball screens in high leverage situations for the guys you want using those ball screens. It's, you know, it's creating good sort of wing looks and post looks for the guys that you want getting the ball in those areas. And it's not, there haven't been a lot of times, at least anecdotally, as I kind of think back through what I've seen and what I've seen when I've watched film and things like that, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of moments where you feel like Indiana just has to go to a bailout play where, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis gets the ball on the, you know, at the elbow with 7 seconds left on the shot clock and just has to try and make something happen. It's an offense that is creating quality looks, and not just quality looks, but quality looks for the right players in the right positions. And if Indiana can do that most of the season, then I think this offense can maintain a lot of its production. You know, obviously you're not going to see a lot of 100-point performances and things like that, but I think this offense can be consistent in the way that it produces, you know, shots and points, because it's, number one, again, not leaning too heavily on any one or two players, and number two, it's putting Indiana in a really kind of quality position to be able to move shots around and get guys the kinds of looks that really fit their skill sets.
Zach Hosterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports. Zach, as always, appreciate your time. Lots of basketball and some more football we can talk about next Monday, so let's make a plan to do that then.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Chad Gilbert joins me on the program. Lots to talk about today with Chad. Basketball season is here, even at the high school level, and a lot more coming your way next. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Chad Gilbert with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports. Chad is Charlestown High School's athletic director, and he's an IHSA executive board member as well. And Chad, I know we want to talk some basketball, and we'll do that here in just a second, but kind of a close to the high school football season. I didn't mention it much earlier in the show, but Floyd Central lost on Friday, a game we carried here on the Big X at Bloomington South in the regional championship game. Good year for the Highlanders. I think overall a decent year for high school football in our area, with the 8 Clark and Floyd County schools that have football. And I think Floyd Central set themselves up to be a front runner next season with all the juniors and the young talent that they have in that program. And there are some other schools in the area as well that I think you could look at. Maybe say that was one of their problems this year. They didn't have a lot of senior leadership. They had lots of young talent that could be good in future seasons. But hats off to Floyd Central. They kind of led the way, Chad, this season in high school football with their sectional championship.
Absolutely. Anytime you can celebrate a sectional championship, that's great for your program. Success breeds success. And I think that, you know, you'll have that springboard that you'll have kids who've tasted that sectional championship and see how good you got to be at the next level to advance past that regional. That makes you work that extra hard in the weight room. That makes you get to practice that a little bit earlier, stay a little bit longer, and feel that hunger, that drive, that passion in order to be best, you know, because it's real easy to be complacent. You can be the best in your conference, the best in your county, the best in certain area. The way I always said it to our kids when we played it, it says, you either get better or you get worse. You don't stay the same. If you're the best, somebody's always trying to knock you off that pedestal. And you, if you are the best, you should be trying to knock somebody else off their pedestal. So it's kind of a chasing game. It's something that, as a coach, you can guarantee their staff is going to motivate their kids to have a great offseason.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert joining us here on the program, as always, Mondays, talking local sports. Want to get into some high school basketball. Boys season started with practices. We'll get into some scrimmage images later this week, which will be fun to kind of preview what's ahead with games. Girls season is, I mean, it's fully underway. There are games coming fast and furious for our local high school girls basketball teams. But on a statewide note, of course, you're an IHSA executive board member, so I just want to ask more of a general question here, but kind of interesting this morning to see the first time in a while that a team has been removed from the state tournament for a year. Southport High School, their boys basketball team, found guilty of undue influence, a coach paying tuition out of district tuition for a player. And Southport, who's, you know, been a great program, had some great players, love their gymnasium. They've hosted a lot of key postseason games. They're not going to be playing postseason basketball this season.
Yeah, an unfortunate situation for those guys because, like you said, a great gym, a great atmosphere there at Southport. You know, you hate it for any time that kids have to, you know, be penalized. You know, they'll get to play their season. They won't get to play in the tournament. But, you know, the one thing on the IHSA, being involved with that, when those guys, you know, with the commissioners, they put a lot of thought into things, and they follow the rules to a T. And, you know, it's just not a bunch of guys dressing up in suits, going around and acting like they're the boss. They care about kids and they want to make the right decision. And, you know, everyone will move forward and hopefully things will get on track for everyone throughout the state.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert joining us. Chad, first week of practices in the books. I know a lot of teams last week, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. Some teams had their, you know, red, white, green, gold, blue, orange, whatever you want to call it, intra-squad scrimmages on Friday or Saturday to kind of get a look at things in a somewhat competitive season and setting and reward the kids with a little bit of a something to look forward to with fans in the stands. Not a lot of time to work with teams. This is something that kind of is a common topic, especially among coaches that have been around for a while. You know, I was talking to Perry Hunter at the Silver Creek girls game on Saturday night when they defeated New Albany. You know, there was a time where you had 20 or more days to work with your team. And so an intra-squad game was really something that was needed and looked forward to. But now it's a quick turnaround from Monday tryouts and practices to the actual start of the season, which happens, I think, a week from tomorrow. We've got our first local game here in Clark and Floyd counties. It's such a quick turnaround. I know year-round you get to prepare more than what coaches ever had, but when it gets serious and it gets going with official practices, it is a really quick start to finish as far as going from tryouts and practices to games.
It is, but it's the same for everybody. So, in other words, let's say we'll use Perry, for example, at Silver Creek. They've got 15 practices to get ready. Charlestown's got 15 practices to get ready. New Albany has 15 practices. Jeff has 15 practices. Everybody's got the same amount of practices to get ready. So that levels the playing field out. I think it's what you do in those practices that count. And to do a inter-squad scrimmage stuff, I think that is good for the fans. I think it's good to recognize your feeder programs. I think it's good to bring some alumni in and, you know, maybe play an alumni game to get some people involved, sell some season tickets. But most of all in that is you're creating excitement for the games and you're hoping your program can make a little money, whether it's through admission, whether it's through selling apparel, whether it's to get people coming back to games, and where it's just, you know, to kind of have that relationship, that familiarity with players, individuals with the team, where people come and watch games. You know, kind of one thing that you see is you see smaller schools have a little bit bigger crowds. And I think bigger schools, and even in our situation up here at Charlestown a little bit, when you get people who move in, you know, with open enrollment or whatever else, I think you kind of lose the regular fan, you know, who's just a fan of Charlestown High School, or the fan who says, I went to church with his mom, or I used to cut his hair. When guys come in, you have their parents come in, but there's just don't have that regular Charlestown person come in, or that regular whatever person, city come in, where at a smaller school, those people kind of group together, and they're there all the way through, and they kind of go generations. If you look at some rosters, you'll see names from when we played that kids have gone through there, whether it's a Gilbert, a Graber, a Graham, whatever it is down the line, those kids have kind of been through their generations, and I think those fans kind of follow that. So it's kind of you want to make those connections to get people involved with your program, but at the same time, you got to get your program ready to go for that first game. And, you know, it's you want to be playing your best basketball in March, not in November, but it's one of those deals that you want to make sure that you come out, get off to a good start so maybe you can create some excitement for your program.
Yeah, no question. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, we've got a couple minutes before we close things out today. Let's look ahead to next week, some big matchups. I like the pre-Thanksgiving, I think it's Tuesday night matchup, Christian Academy and Floyd Central. It's 1A and 4A, so Floyd Central is obviously the favorite, but I look forward to catching that game. Love to watch Jake Hyde-Breeder play ball. Think the Highlanders are going to be good again once this season, but interested to see how they look. And Christian Academy in 1A, I think they're going to be fantastic. They may not win the game against Floyd, but it's a good early season test for them to play a bigger school. And when it comes time for them in the state tournament, I think they'll be great. Then you've got New Albany, Bloomington South on Saturday night. There are other games as well, but some big ones to start the week officially, game-wise, next week.
And it does give them a lot of excitement. You know, last year, Christian Academy was my pick to come out of the South for the 1A, and I think this year with what they've got coming back, they're my pick again to come out of the South and in the 1A division. Coach Kerberg does an excellent job over there, and, you know, that Floyd Central game is only going to make them better. And, you know, we talked about, just to backtrack a little bit about scrimmages and air-squad scrimmages, we were supposed to scrimmage Jeff tomorrow in a quarter scrimmage, and with Red for Ed, you know, our teachers are going up, and they're standing for what they believe in, which is, you know, kudos to the teachers and that, and the support that they can get throughout the state. You know, we appreciate that. But we've had to cancel our scrimmage in order for that. So that kind of puts our guys down a little bit, but where you can't have that game where you practice your pregame warm-ups. You practice putting your socks on. You practice putting your shoes on. You practice riding the bus. I think the scrimmages pay more off to that than they do what you actually do on the floor.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, thanks for the chat. Always look forward to it on Mondays. And that's going to wrap the show up today. I'm back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.